Welcome to Email After Hours by Senderscore, powered by Validity.
We're your hosts. My name is Guy Hansen.
And I'm Danielle Gallant, and this is Email After Hours.
We know the best email marketers out there are total data junkies. And that's why today we're going to discuss some hot off the presses email research. Validity just dropped our most popular annual report, State of Email 2024. It's got all the juicy stats on open rates, clicks, global sending volumes, spam trap volumes, and so much more. And this report harnesses Validity's global data network, which pulls in data from 2.5 billion, yes, billion, inboxes worldwide.
It's a lot of data. And to help make sense of these findings, we're pulling in one of Validity's top email experts, Laura Christensen. Laura's been in email for over 20 years, so that's about as long as I have, but she doesn't have as many gray hairs as I do. And she leads a team of fabulous Validity email strategists who work with programs all over the world to drive awesome results from the email channel. And just FYI, Laura is also Danielle's boss. No pressure,
Danielle.
That's
right. We got to keep it clean today. Got to keep it clean today, guys. Welcome, Laura.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
We always kick it off with an icebreaker question. And this is one that I was, when we were going through and we knew you were going to be the guest today, I was like, I really want to ask this one. So I'm going to. Laura, if you could look into one famous person's email inbox, who would it be and why?
Oh my goodness. Well, I'm going to disappoint you probably because I'm going to give such a nerdy email answer, but I would actually pick Sundar Pichai. I don't know that he's considered super famous, but he is the CEO of Google.
Wow.
And I just look at all of the changes that have come with Gmail over the years. I know we're going to talk about Gmail a lot today, but I would love to peek into his inbox, maybe get a sneak peek of what's to come for Gmail as well. And even just know, does he use tabs?
Yeah, and I bet none of his emails go to Gmail spam.
Right? Exactly.
There we go. Right. Now, to give our listeners today an idea of what they're in for, let's go around this group. And I want each of you to choose one word, just one word, to summarize the email landscape over the past year. Laura, you want to go first?
Sure. I would say evolving. I look at all of the changes that happened last year, and really, it's all been leading up to the changes that came last year. When we look back at BIMI in 2020, MPP in 2021, ChatGPT in 2022, and then Yahoo and Gmail announcing their new sender requirements last year, it's ever-changing, ever-evolving, which can be challenging, but it's also one of the things I find most exciting about our industry.
What about you, Danielle?
I feel like mine is the less formal or presentable version of Laura's, which was dramatic. At MOG last year, it became very clear that marketers weren't the only ones facing major challenges regarding Gmail and Yahoo's new requirements, that like ESPs also had to make some major moves on that front. I feel like this has been the biggest news really the last 6 months since I've been in email. So dramatic. What about you, Guy?
I think both of you have chosen really dynamic words, and I agree with you. But just to be the contrarian, which you love and cherish me for, I'm going with trusted. Because I think that while many of the recent developments from the likes of Apple and Gmail and Yahoo, etc., have definitely given email marketers some sleepless nights over the last year or two, ultimately, all those developments have actually contributed to keeping email a very trusted channel, which is highly valued by senders and their customers because of that.
Evolving, dramatic, trusted, three words that describe the email ecosystem and come up frequently in my own therapy appointments. Anyway, let's kick it off with the big picture and talk about global email volumes. So approximately 360 billion emails are now sent every day. That's around 250 million emails per minute. Someone did that math for me. And notably, about 85% of those messages are spam. And Laura, we ask this question, and as deliverability experts, we are asked this question all the time. What are some of the top things that senders need to keep in mind to stand out in the inbox and not just add to the noise?
Yeah, we do get asked this question all the time. So first, it's how do I reach the inbox? And then once I am reaching the inbox, how do I make sure I'm getting noticed? And really, it comes down to three things I would tell senders to focus on. First is hyper-personalization. We've been talking over the past year a lot about AI, certainly the good and the bad that comes with AI, but it's worth noting triggered emails generate more revenue, up to 10 times more revenue than kind of those standard business as usual emails. So the more that you can use hyper-personalization, triggered messages, sending people what they want, when they want it, or even before they know they want it, is really the name of the game for standing out in the inbox. Also, Vimy implementation. So if you have not jumped on the Vimy bandwagon, what are you waiting for? It's really a no-brainer at this point, given Gmail and Yahoo's new sender requirements for DMARC. So you're already halfway there in getting compliant for those new sender requirements. So definitely Vimy implementation, having that logo with your email in the inbox. And then one that maybe isn't as much on everybody's radar because it's not trendy, but it's really just the tried and true competitive intelligence. So knowing when your best sending windows are, it's, I would say, keep your friends close, but your competitors closer, knowing what they're doing, being in their business, and just making sure that you're knowing when are they sending, when are they not sending, what are they sending. Mail charts is something internally that we leverage all the time in getting that peek at what our clients' competitors are sending. So certainly tools and resources like that make it a lot easier than it has been in years past to keep on top of what your competitors are sending and when they're sending it.
I think some great ideas there. I love the bit about hyper-personalization. We had the email team from Asda on our latest State of Email webinar, and they send tens of millions of emails every month. But they were saying that their objective is to make sure that every single subscriber feels like they're getting a VIP experience. So I think you're absolutely on the money there. Now, when inboxes are this crowded, it's more important than ever for senders to maintain a really positive reputation with the mailbox providers. But unfortunately, the data in our report seems to be showing just the opposite. In 2023, spam complaint rates more than doubled. Our previous report, we were quoting about 0.03%. They've now grown to 0.07%. And definitely this year, in 2024, complaint rates are under increased scrutiny because of Gmail and Yahoo's new bulk sender requirements. And we do think positively that this metric's going to reduce again because of this increased scrutiny. But I guess the question, marketers are now very, very focused on staying below that 0.3% threshold that both Gmail and Yahoo have stipulated. So, Laura, what can senders be doing to try and keep this metric as healthy as possible?
Well, I think clearly knowing is half the battle, right? So making sure that as a sender, you do know what your threshold is. So things you can do, like signing up for all available feedback loops. There are a number of really valuable reputation tools that are out there, whether it's SenderScore or GPT, SNDS, Yahoo's newly announced and eagerly awaited monitoring tools. And then on the consumer side, it really, again, I know I wish there was an easy button, but we have to be mindful of what our subscribers want to receive. So recognizing that it is not just an email address, there is a person on the other side of that email address. So we have to think about what would be causing them to complain. So are they getting too many emails? Are the emails not relevant to them? Or worst case, they don't even remember subscribing in the first place. So starting off the relationship in a positive way by asking them what they want to receive, having preference centers and asking them what content they're interested in, how often they want to be contacted. That can also go a long way to prevent those dreaded complaints down the road.
Totally agree with you. There's just no easy button for that. But those are great recommendations.
Yes.
And now let's move on to a maybe more positive subscriber engagement metric. Let's talk about open rates. And one of the most common questions I got from clients in 2023 was, are opens even relevant anymore? Validity's reporting shows that almost 70% of all opens are now generated by Apple's privacy proxy. And basically, senders just can't rely on this metric to accurately measure subscriber engagement. We do see ebbs and flows in open rates, though. So different times of the year show higher or lower open rates. Seasonality is a major factor here. There's like a, quote, summer holidays effect that's evident with lowest open rates happening between May and August. And so there are, like we say, false in quotes and real opens. And so, Laura, what are some of the major factors that drive those real opens and influence subscribers to legitimately open a message?
We know, and research has shown, the number one reason that someone will open a message or market as spam is brand recognition. So that is absolutely critical. They have to know who you are as a sender, and that's going to determine whether or not they engage with that message. So again, I would go back to BIMI, the brand indicators for message identification. Having that logo next to your name just goes a long way in helping provide immediately recognizable brand recognition. Also, just having a strong focus on the combined impact of your subject line and your pre-header text and your friendly from to make sure that subscribers know that it's you reaching out to them and you want them to get to a point where they anticipate. They aren't just looking at your emails in their inbox, but they're looking forward to seeing your emails in their inbox.
And making use of all of that real estate that you're talking about in a subscriber mailbox.
Absolutely.
And great news for everyone in 2024, we expect open rates to continue to rise. Between automatic pixel fires and the way that marketers are hopefully going to use hyper-personalization and of course AI tools, we think it's only up from here. Inevitably, when we talk about open rates, I get another question. If marketers shouldn't be leveraging open rates to maybe make subscriber segmentation decisions, what metrics should they be using? And what's your advice on alternative metrics like that, Laura?
I would say MPP opens still have value, just not in the traditional way that opens provided value for senders historically. So the act of firing the email tracking pixels is going to show us that the emails were delivered to the inbox and that they were sent to valid addresses and not spam or junk. You can also still look at opens from non-Apple Mail users. And I really recommend creating almost a hierarchy of engagement metrics. So factoring in things like your click-through rate, your unsubscribe rate, conversions, all of those additional metrics together are going to give you more of a clear picture versus kind of that ultimate reliance that we've had historically on just the open rate.
I think that's a really great segue into our next metric and the one which has probably surpassed open rates as email marketers' go-to engagement metric, the click rate. Having said that, our report shows that by 2023, click rates have really dwindled a bit. Our previous report, we quoted an average 4.2%, but this has now dropped down to only 1.8%. And I think, like open rates, clicks are also impacted by seasonality for sure. We definitely saw that in December, click rates were a full quarter higher than the rest of the year. And that definitely reflected some frenetic holiday shopping that was going on at the time. I think our forecast in the report is we do expect clicks to head back upwards in 2024, but not necessarily for all the right reasons. We're definitely starting to see bots having a serious impact on click accuracy. A lot of our customers talking to us about this new challenge. So Laura, how can senders identify what's real and what's not?
Yeah, we've been hearing an increasing number of clients who are expressing concern over bot clicks and the accidental unsubscribes that they are also worried about. I would say, first, I want to just touch on for consumers, bots are a really good thing because it shows that email security platforms are really ramping up their defenses to protect their clients. And one of those really common defenses is deploying bots to check links in emails to make sure that they're legit. So from a consumer standpoint, it's a good thing. But for senders, the main concern is really, as you said, Guy, around accidental unsubscribes. So one of the things that we've been recommending with a lot of clients is implementing RFC 8058, the one-click unsubscribe header, and really directing subscribers to a preference center or even a secondary landing page to complete that unsubscribe action within the visible unsubscribe link in the message body or footer. So again, just making sure that we're directing people where we want them to go and having some of those tools in place for them.
And now it's time to talk about perhaps the most undesirable metric, at least as far as email marketers are concerned, and that is the unsubscribe rate. So while variances throughout the year are comparatively small, we did see differences between the first and second halves of the year with unsubscribe rates. So the more, let's say, personal holidays happen in the first half of the year, like Mother's Day, for example, these could be triggering for some subscribers. Thanks to Gmail and Yahoo, which will soon enforce the adoption of the one-click list unsubscribe mechanism, we'll probably see an increase in unsubscribe rates. However, we expect this will have a positive impact on spam complaint rates. And this is like an industry-wide thing, right? Unsubscribes can suffer from an unfair reputation. So, Laura, do you think that's true? Do you think unsubscribes do suffer from an unfair reputation? And then should marketers think more positively about this metric?
Yes, I'm going to get on my soapbox for just a minute. I am a big fan of the unsubscribe. I just want people not to fear the unsubscribe. When it comes to mailbox providers, unsubscribes are actually viewed neutrally by mailbox providers, whereas spam complaints are a negative engagement metric that's going to negatively impact your sender reputation and eventually your deliverability as well. The one thing I always say is in the email ecosphere, bad attention is better than no attention. There's a lot of damage that actually can be done from, to use kind of a currently relevant term, quiet quitters for your email program. If people don't want your messages, it is better to provide them a way to remove themselves from the list than just keep them on as dead weight. Because again, mailbox providers like Gmail and Yahoo are paying attention to those quiet quitters. And if you don't have people engaging with your messages, eventually that will impact your deliverability and your sender reputation, even for those people who do want to receive your messages. So embrace the unsubscribe.
I love your soapbox on unsubscribes. Laura, I'm totally with you. And it ties into the whole point of the new Gmail, Yahoo rules, really. Like mailbox providers, they're looking for new ways to improve their users' experiences. And okay, fine. We've said unsubscribes are viewed neutrally by mailbox providers. We would, from a reputation standpoint, definitely rather have an unsubscribe than a spam complaint. Now, it's fair to say that unsubscribe mechanism is certainly more visible. And for the sake of the marketers out there, they, of course, want to know, how can they avoid being the ones that are cut off here? How can they prevent that?
Yeah. So once again, I would say if you haven't already implemented one-click unsubscribe, run, don't walk to your email service provider as soon as possible so they can help you get this set up. again, you don't want to get into a situation where a mailbox provider is blocking your messages for everyone. Just provide an easy unsubscribe option for those select few who no longer want to receive your messages. The other thing that I would say is make it easier to unsubscribe than to mark your messages spam. So again, it sounds like a no-brainer, but remove those friction points, make your unsubscribe visible, do all the things, because when it comes to people who don't want to receive your messages anymore, they will take the path of least resistance. We want that path to lead them to the unsubscribe versus the spam button. And then one thing I have not seen as many senders adopt, but hopefully we'll see more continue to do this, is snooze functionality. So essentially allowing your subscribers to choose to take a break from receiving messages. I have that Friends clip in my head of, for people who know Friends, of Ross saying, "We were on a break." Allowing subscribers to take a break from your messages, especially during those sensitive times. You mentioned earlier Mother's Day or Valentine's Day, or I would even argue the holidays. It may be because of the sensitive nature of certain holidays, or it may be around the holidays, they're just receiving too many messages overall. So allowing people to select that snooze functionality. We've actually seen research from Oracle showing that having snooze functionality can reduce unsubscribe rates by over 80%. Wow. So it's worth trying.
I'm with you. And you know what? I'm probably the oldest person in this conversation by a good 10 years. And guess what? I love a good snooze.
I was going to say, just because Laura was bringing up Valentine's Day, another reason is like, or somebody got dumped, listen to the last episode. Or the Valentine's Day of email after hours.
No, I didn't get dumped. I'm still married. Anyway, right, bringing us back onto track. So, Laura, this has been a fabulous conversation. And gee, we could probably go on for at least another hour. But we need to start pulling all the strands together. We started off talking about global email volumes. Well, guess what? We're actually forecasting that global volumes are going to increase by around another 15% this year. How far can this go? You know, are we ever going to get to a point where consumers actually start losing interest in email as their preferred marketing channel? Is there a risk of that?
Boy, for our sake, I hope not.
Me too, yeah.
Now, every year we have people predicting the death of email, but honestly, the data, the facts just don't support that in any way, shape, or form. You mentioned revenue, Guy. Average revenue per email is actually forecasted to increase from around 12.9 cents to 17 cents by 2026. I think a lot of channels would like to see that same level of growth. So email is alive and well. We're also hearing more and more about third-party cookies depreciating. So marketers are going to be shifting that paid search spend to higher ROI channels. Yes. Like email. And then really the third thing that's going in our favor is email is continuing to improve. We've talked about so many improvements just in our short conversation today. So whether it's more privacy laws in place, sender best practices that are now enforced by mailbox providers and email service providers. Everybody is joining hands in these improvements. All of that really makes it more likely for subscribers to continue to engage with email. And our industry is so good at being customer-centric, subscriber-centric. So the changes, the technology, every improvement that's being made is really focused on creating a better experience for consumers. So that is really what's going to ensure that we continue to add value and we continue to remain a relevant channel for subscribers to engage with.
Yeah. And guys, we said email is evolving, dramatic, trusted. Like
email rocks.
Not on our way. Yes.
Then they're done that, got the t-shirt.
Yes, this is going to be the next t-shirt. Yes. Well, thank you so much, Laura. We have been dying to have you on the Email After Hours podcast. So we're so glad that you came on to share your invaluable insights with us. And we hope everybody, we know that everybody's going to tune in just to listen to Laura. But of course, we have to sign off now. So in case you want to, as I'm sure you do, get into all of the incredible statistics that are covered in the State of Email Report 2024, please either look at the show notes, there's going to be a link in there, or just go to Ablidity.com and head to our resource center. That's where you can find us. But in the meantime, join us in another 2 weeks for another episode of Email After Hours. Bye, everybody.
Be sure to tune in next time and hit subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. And don't forget to visit senderscore.com for loads more great resources to help you become a stronger sender.
To all you sleepless senders out there, thank you for joining us after hours, and see you next time.